Hey, welcome into the epicenter where we're going to continue exploring what it looks like to be the epicenter of the boom. Welcome back into the epicenter where we're going to do part two with BB, Bishop Boniface Shanga from Zambia, Africa. And so this is part two. If you have not seen part one, please go back, check that out, because this is going to be a continuation of the conversation that we were having in the previous episode. So make sure to go back, check out that episode, and then come catch back up with this one. It's powerful. I promise you. You do not want to miss it. So,
really good.
Got Roswell once again.
Hey,
Still here. And then BB, our friend BB. So he's here. Sure. And we just want to pick right back up where we were in this conversation about, you know, just being tested and the trials and God's promises in our lives and the process and how all that goes. And so, you know, in the last episode, we really kind of dove into the challenges that Joseph faced. But I want to dive into today in the latter half of the book. You really began to address, you know, his posture. We talked about it a little bit that he was frustrated, you know, whenever he says to him, "Hey, I'm not supposed to be here." But there's another posture that Joseph takes that you point out. And I think I've never seen anybody point this out in scripture. I've never heard it preached on. I've never heard it pulled out of scripture before, but I think it's powerful. And so I'd like for you to talk about the other posture that Joseph takes on.
You know, when Joseph is in prison, it is easy actually to sometimes think when we're passing through difficult times, we can be so impacted by the adversities we are passing through and be shut in and not see, you know, what others are passing through as well. But I think one of the lessons in this time of processing is to learn to still be generous with others, even out of your own, you know, adversity or, you know, adverse situation. Here, I'm so touched by the fact that Joseph is in prison for a crime he has not committed. It's a framed up charge. He didn't have a fair trial. It was a summary trial. I mean, Potiphar, in his anger, just had him committed to prison and with his power and his authority. And that's why he never had a fair hearing. And that's because Mrs. Potiphar was afraid. How does she explain having a man's, you know, undergarments in her hands, you know, in a room which she shares with her husband? And so this was a way of covering it up, and it was his word against hers. And because she's a powerful woman married to a powerful man, he ends up in prison. It's easy when you are there to just close up and focus on yourself and just cry your own tears to yourself. But here is Joseph, the Bible says, on this one morning, he sees two others who are very sorrowful. And that really touched me, that he's a man who has enough of his own problems, but he notices the problems of others.
That's powerful.
You know, because he says to them, and in fact, don't forget, he's the most privileged prisoner at this stage.
Right. At this point,
You know, he has all the privileges that the correctional facility could offer. He can go to any department. He has, you know, he has a status just second
to the
authorities, to the warden, you know. And so I couldn't bother less about, you know, hey, guys, you know, cheer up. Come on, you know, don't be so bothered about issues. But, you know, he takes the time to approach these two guys. And he says, I see that you guys, something is wrong. Have you received news from home? Maybe a loved one has passed on, or maybe, you know, something at home, and maybe your child, or what is it? I mean, you guys look very you know, burdened with, you know, something. And I say, you know, it's just dreams. You know, I dreamt and he dreamt.
Can't make sense of it.
You know, dream? Because this guy is familiar with dreams. Oh, you both dreamt in one night. Yes, tell me your dreams. Hmm. And the other one says, you know, this is what I dreamt. It all involved the three. And the other one, this is what I dreamt. It also involved the three.
Right.
And Joseph says, okay, in 3 days,
hmm,
both of you are coming out from here. You're all being released from here.
That's right.
You're being released back to the palace. You're being released to the execution.
Hmm.
The sentence, the king, you know, pronounced on you, he's going to effect it. But look, whether we live or die, we live to God.
Come on, man.
There is a God in heaven.
Oof.
It's not the end of it all. Even if you're like, we're as good as dead men in here. And if they take you out there and execute, you know, but listen, there is a God up in here. He prepares one man to meet his maker.
That's right.
And prepares the other man to go back to assume his duties and responsibilities.
Right.
But who knew that it was this outward focus,
mm-hmm,
of looking beyond his own situation that actually unlocks his own door?
Yeah.
Because if he did not see this, then the butler would remember Joseph because of this moment. You know, even if people forget you, by the way, when God's time comes, they would
uh-oh,
look for you. They would search for you. They would look through all the addresses. Even if they had deleted you, they would ask somebody, hey, I'm looking for so-and-so.
Oh, wow.
You know why? Because God can make a man lose sleep in order for you to come out, because your time has now come.
Preach, man.
And you know, the butler said, I remember my faults this day. There is a man in prison. We also had a dream, like you've had a dream, Your Majesty. And he interpreted our dreams accurately.
Mm-hmm.
You brought my friend out and you executed him. Me, you restored back to this position.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the man you need. Remember, the king had lined up all his best and nobody has been able to tell him the interpretation.
Mm.
He says, I will not sit down.
Yeah, I think that's critical to remember that he lined up all his best. And they
all
couldn't.
His best.
Yeah.
All his best were there.
It's a man, David, it's a man in prison.
That's
right.
Yeah. It's
familiar. See, when God is ready to bring you out.
Hey, man, look.
The platform will be ready.
It speaks of timing.
Yeah. It speaks of timing.
I think timing is really something that, as I'm listening to you.
That's right.
This man preached these little sermonettes.
Yeah. So, you know,
so much power.
So it's good that when we are passing through the hard times,
yes,
God is sometimes trying to open our eyes to see there are other people there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better time to just extend a hand to somebody than the time when you're passing through.
That's right.
Your most trying moments.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because in that moment, you're sowing the seed of kindness that will come back to you.
Amen.
And you never know who you're helping today.
Man,
and what influence they will have tomorrow.
Shot,
you know, that's how God works.
That's right. Well, it's how you treat people.
That's right.
But the timing, no peace.
Yes.
I got to go back to that because, again, this generation is so right now.
Yeah.
And Keith and I see through the lens of sport.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's our background. Mm. Him at a higher level than me.
Mm.
But I think I understand from working with athletes most of my whole adult life with mentoring and training them, this time and peace, man, dudes are not getting it.
Mm.
And I think that the reason they're not getting it is because they're not slowing down and asking the question, where is God in this? Man, God is the author of this timing.
Mm.
And before you can reconcile that,
that's right,
you're going to continue to do this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I hate to say it, I don't wish nobody through injury.
Mm.
A lot is going on, man, with this issue with our young men.
That's right.
And even young men our son's ages, you know, 9, 11 years old, there's timing is critical. I didn't learn about God's time until I turned 19 years old.
Right.
I'm already a student here at Tech trying to figure out, like, man, God's timing is really the authority.
That's
it's when he says.
That's right.
And it's like you said, absolutely, no matter what people do, you know, they can forget your number. And amen. When the time is now, God knows what pieces to move and where to put them in. and all of that, man. He's playing chess out here.
He's a master.
He's doing it. And that's very real. That's a very real thing.
Yeah.
It's a very real thing.
True.
Well, and I even think about from a timing perspective, my journey, I got benched my junior year at Tech as a kicker. Mm. And then he flings the door wide open again my senior year. Well, my senior year, I just go bonkers on kickoff. I was just like, it was a great year. Yeah. And I thought I was about ready to quit going into my senior year. Wow. And Brandy, my wife now, she's my girlfriend. She's like, hey, don't quit. God's got something for you.
That's crazy.
And she was like, besides that, like, fly around and see all these stadiums and you get to travel. True. And she's like, yeah, man, why would you not?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. So God flings this door wide open again my senior year. Well, then at the end of my senior year, I've got agents calling me. I've got workouts. I had a workout with the Cowboys, the Bills. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the door slammed shut.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And so I was weird, like, why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. Why – you sent me on this mission. Like, and during my senior year is when I really began to realize, like, the call that I had in that locker room.
Right.
To lead Bible studies, to pray for the team, be a spiritual leader on the team. Right. And so that's thought God was opening the doors for me to go into that. Right. And all of a sudden, and then it gets slammed shut again.
Mm.
And I couldn't figure it out. Mm. And it was 15 years later, I think, something like that, that I was talking to you. And God just whispered into me, I didn't need you in the NFL at that time.
Right.
I needed to raise you up in business
so that
we could do this. Right. And I was like, man, it brought me to tears instantly. Yeah. And I've been through so many, I had questions. I've been through so many trials. Man, this has not been easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to what you're talking about. Yeah. I thought, man, we're going to get into this. And I told my wife the other day, I was like, I thought this was going to get easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only gotten harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to a couple episodes ago when I started talking about Mario, and our walk of faith, and once you get to like level eight and nine, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
It's
the preparation.
Yeah.
It's the process. Correct. It's the preparation.
And you have more tools and you're more equipped to deal with those harder issues.
Right. Yeah. Right.
A lot of men need to hear this, man. Mm. A lot of men need to know. Because as men, we look at where's the intersection.
That's right.
When are we going to move on to the next thing, which... You could argue either way. The point of all of that, though, is that God's timing is God's timing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that
that's right.
Our own children, man, my own 9-year-old son, man. When it's time,
That's right.
I'm going to give a parent hack because it seems everybody has loved it. Kids, especially young kids, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
In the car.
Right, it's a process, right? Like, man. It's hour, especially when it's like these hour-long trips, Are we there yet?
Really prophetic, though.
Yeah. Are we there yet?
Keep going, yeah.
And so here's the parent hack,
what do you say to that?
My answer has become, just got closer.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Just got closer.
Just got closer.
Because we are. We're getting a little bit closer.
Yeah. Good.
And so the time doesn't matter.
That's right.
We just got closer. My kids at first, they hated it. Oh, my gosh, I hated it. They were like, dad, And then they started catching on. And now they'll be like, are we there yet? And I'm like, And they're like, just got closer. And I'm like, yeah, bingo.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's this destination that God has for us.
That's right.
In our life.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there. We're like, are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
Yeah.
And he's like, just got closer.
And you said parent hack, and it's funny, but then there's another serious part of this that we're seeing now, even with technology, people are trying to hack certain systems that I believe. I was coaching Andy Bean on this other day. Shout out to Andy Bean.
He's a man.
Bean, man. old Bean.
Love him.
There are certain things that God designed to not be hacked, unhackable. In the human DNA.
I like that.
In the human brain, there are certain things that we should not be trying to hack.
Yeah.
But because man is so sinful and so wicked and so pursuit of, his own purpose and plan, we're trying to hack all these things that God never intended to be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing all types of problems.
Yeah.
All types of confusion in the society and culture because of that.
Yeah.
And that's just so powerful because we look at Joseph, back to the word, back to the word of God. That's Joseph did not try to hack. Yeah. He just went through it.
He went through it.
He just went through it.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about that. Like, what was it that was keeping this guy? I just go through it.
Yeah. But just imagine this. He has the dream at 17. There's certain things that you see also, of course. the way he talks to his brothers. In Jacob's house, and which is true about the Eastern culture at the time, everything went by seniority, you know?
Yes, sir.
So Levi, Reuben, these are the top guys, you know, in the
top
family.
Dogs, yeah.
It goes all the way down to Joseph, you know?
The baby.
And so he's the baby in the family. And so when he shares this dream, he's talking to big guys, man.
Yeah. So,
now, you imagine Joseph at 18.
Oh, man.
And he is the second in command in Egypt.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that we don't quite understand, and I didn't know this until just recently, but like the way that we live in suburbs, we live, you know, we just kind of spread out. Back in the day, they would have a plot of land,
they would all be together. They ran
as a family and stayed together.
Correct.
You know,
10 acres,
and so
five
like,
acres.
So sometimes like I think there's questions like why is the 35-year-old brother, older brother, or however old he was, like why are they even messing with Joseph?
Right.
It was culturally. That's how they lived.
Exactly.
They were all together.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
And God doesn't want any, you know, somebody that is immature. God can show you things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a time to keep them to yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, I get to see there. I mean, that's my interpretation.
Right.
Joseph is not a guy who can keep his mouth shut.
It's hard.
If he has something, he will see it. And probably that's one of the reasons why he's so much into trouble with all the big guys, because it comes and it's out. Man, you know, we were in the field and we were gathering sheaves, and your sheaves, you know, stood round about mine and bowed down to mine. I don't know what that means. Eh? What do you think?
They're looking like, boy, you
say,
lost
hey,
your mind.
Guy, you know. And then, you
watch
know,
it now, yeah.
Just a short while later, I had another dream more, you know. He just doesn't know where to stop and when to, but you know, God has to process some stuff.
That's right.
Make you a bit more gentle.
Yeah.
Make you patient.
Yep.
Teach you what it means to mature.
Yeah.
And talk when you need to talk and shut up when you don't need
to
talk.
That's right. The decorum,
and
I'm with it.
And God's school.
I'm with that.
It's a unique school.
I'm with that.
Yeah. We don't have the same curriculum.
That's right, bro.
It's an individual curriculum.
That's right. School A's. Look. Hey, Joseph needed a, you know, it's kind of funny. We, you know, culture is as crazy as culture is, it's also very funny. There's comedy. Joseph needed a cousin or somebody, a kinfolk, was, hey, bro, like them dreams, stop. Like, you don't see what I see. Don't tell them no more dreams, bro. The next one, you're going to be through. And he was, wasn't he?
He was.
He needed somebody. He needed a homie to be like, hey, man.
Hey, cut that out,
chill,
man.
Bro. In the background doing this. No, man. Ain't that too funny, man? It's too real, you know, and again, you know, you can laugh and the Lord is in this story, man.
That's right.
I mean, the Lord is, we gotta, you know, to the dudes who are watching this, my heart for the man who are involved with Boom, or you may even not be a part of Boom and be seeing this.
Yeah.
Hopefully you are.
That's right.
To be encouraged.
Yeah. But also,
see God,
you know,
in it.
I think I should mention this, that you see how he serves the dream of another.
Yeah.
You know, it's something we're discussing towards the end of the book,
mm-hmm.
that it was while Joseph was serving another's dream that his own dream gets fulfilled.
That's crazy.
You know, we live in
serving
a time...
Serving the dream of another.
Isn't there a movie called,
correct.
Like, The Dreams in a Dream? Inception, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that before?
I don't think I've seen it.
Is that right, Bill B? Inception?
Yeah.
Dreams within a dream?
Yeah.
That's what the actual word is, a dream within a dream.
Within a dream.
That's powerful, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this dream was the king's dream.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Joseph is actually enlisted into the king's dream.
Right.
But it is while he's serving the king's dream,
mm-hmm.
his brothers come.
Mm.
And his own dream finds fulfillment.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't know how to serve another. So that we can come into our own. You know, we all want to do our own little thing in the corner.
Boy.
You know, want to have no hand with that. I will have put no hand to that. That's their own stuff. And, you know, and we wonder why we never really seem to come off and come into what God has designed.
Well, and I think that's
powerful.
You know,
it's very touching. To me, that is extremely powerful.
Absolutely.
It was... not his dream initially. Yeah. It was the king's dream.
Yeah. I think that's incredible because I think we are such a selfish generation.
Man.
I mean, beyond selfish. I mean, it is like promote self. And that's a balance that's hard to find. It's toxic.
It's so selfish, it's toxic. Yeah.
It's hard to find, and it's, but yeah, you're talking about servant leadership.
Yes.
You're talking about servant leadership.
Absolutely.
And serving the dreams of other people. Preach, How can... And I think as a business leader, when we start talking about that, like, how can my dreams as the owner and CEO pull others up, right?
Correct.
And at the same time, I want to do everything I can to make their dreams come true.
Right.
And if each one of us can serve one another that way, and we move away from this selfish mentality that I think is, I mean, it's corrupted
it is.
America for sure.
Totally. It is.
It's corrupted
even in the church.
Yeah.
You know, look at this way. You know that, in fact, Pharaoh becomes a father to Joseph. The Bible says, Pharaoh says, can we find another guy like this? They were all standing there. They were still there. Because if the king doesn't sit down, you cannot sit down. You also stand. He said, I will not sit down until he comes.
Right.
So they went to prison at a double. I mean, those horses and chariots really rode fast.
Come on.
You know, and they just, Joseph, bring the guy out. And immediately went to the, he had to shave and dress up. They said, you know, go, he had to freshen. You cannot appear before the king in prison
court. Decorum, decorum.
So, and when he comes up there, and, you know, they're all standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And the king says, can we find another person like this? Because he has said it.
Hmm.
And it says in verse 37 of chapter 41, and it all seemed good to the king when he heard it.
That's right.
He said, can we find another person? And then he says, you shall be second to me. Only in this throne will I be greater than you.
Mm. Wow.
Egypt is before you.
Mm.
He puts a ring on his finger.
Yep.
Remember, this is a man from Canaan.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
He's a descendant of Jacob.
Yes, sir.
He's not an Egyptian.
Right.
He has his own son.
He's a foreigner. Yeah.
In the house. This is a foreigner.
Yep.
But he makes him a son. That was making him a son.
Powerful.
And he gave to him a wife. And in the Eastern culture, a father arranged, you know, a wife.
Marriages, yes, sir.
Abraham would send his servant Eliezer to go and find a wife for Isaac. You know, it was a duty of a father.
Right.
Man, look at the...
To ensure that.
Prophetic nature of that with Christ, even
right?
Yep. Like, so he's
I saw that.
Yep,
adoption.
You saw that too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and you look at even the prodigal son,
and he
places the ring back on.
All correct.
But like, even the the non-Israelites, always always draw a blank on Gentiles.
Yeah, the
Gentiles. Every time, every time I try and say Gentile, it's just like, it's gone. So anyway, but like, we're adopted in, right? As a Gentile. And man, it's just, look at God's authority over every single transaction, interaction that happens throughout the Bible, and like how it all points to Christ.
Correct.
Right? All of it points to Christ.
Correct. And you know, Keith, when you say that, it really touches my heart, because the thing is, we don't get to it until we have a father figure. Joseph had the dream, but he didn't have a father figure to give him the platform for his dream to be fulfilled.
Amen.
We have people that carry it, but they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. They carry it. They've got it. But they don't have anybody that says, you know what, son? This is it now. You've come into it now.
And begin to do it. And there's your Timothy paradigm. There's your Timothy paradigm.
And that's where we are talking about Joshua and Moses.
Yeah.
Timothy and Paul.
Yeah.
Paul says to Timothy, my son.
Yeah, man.
We know that Paul never married and never had a wife and never raised a family. But he says to Timothy, my son.
Mm.
Right.
Joshua is as a son to Moses. Mm-hmm. And he comes into his destiny with God. Timothy is as a son to Paul. and he goes on to become a great young pastor at Ephesus. He was a young guy, but he was pastoring the one of the most influential churches in the Mediterranean at that time.
That's crazy.
And you know, the same story goes all the way. Ruth with Naomi. I mean, here is a stranded young widow, but goes with this older woman and says, your God will become my God. Your people become my people.
You
know,
where
you dwell, I will dwell. She didn't know. She's a Moabite.
Yeah.
She walks right into Israel and becomes a mother of kings because she gets married to Boaz and becomes the grandmother of Jesse, who becomes the father of David, who becomes the father of Solomon,
kings
up to the king of kings.
True matriarch, yeah.
She's an outsider.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But because of the relationship she had with a godly older woman. Now, this is where we have the break. Joseph can have a dream, but where is the Pharaoh? Who is your father? You are pregnant with something, but there's nobody to help you birth it.
Wow.
And it's killing many of our younger people. They have it. They have the dream. They want to see it come to pass, but they've nobody. They plant it in the wrong places. They begin to do things, you know, without anybody giving them any guidelines. It all crumbles down and they become frustrated and they, you know, and all, you know, then God says, yes, I've given this to you, but I've got somebody there.
That is so nuanced.
Build the platform.
What you're speaking to is the father figure.
Correct. He will endorse you.
The father figure.
Who endorses you? There's so many people that have it.
But
somebody has to endorse you.
I'm into that.
Even the Lord God Almighty had to endorse his son. This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased.
We got a generation.
Listen to him.
We got a generation full of dudes, man. Have the father figure, man.
Can you imagine
that? It's killing us.
Can you imagine
that? It's killing us.
Yeah. Well, that's why our whole passion has been, you know, business operating on mission.
Yeah, bro. Yep.
But then we've also got bros and boys operating on mission. And it's this fatherless generation. And man, I was blessed with a good father. And one of the things that I've been really seeing a lot lately is I had a great father. I had great coaches in my life. I'm realizing that there's a lot of people who have zero expectations and understand expectations because they just didn't have a father that placed expectations
on them.
You know?
Yeah. And lead them and love them.
And lead them and love them. And expectations are a good thing.
Absolutely.
They're a great thing, right? Yeah. But I've seen a lot of that. And man, we just, at what point do we stop and we say, this is not working?
Right.
This isn't working. And I think that's, you know, as I've looked at different things over life, and I've actually learned I'm a lot more philosophical than I ever knew I was.
There you go.
But you read and we sit here in our time and we're like, man, this got to change. And it's back to the process. And we're like, man, we got to change this. We got to change it now. We got to change it, make this thing happen. But if you read Chronicles and Kings and Judges and these different books that kind of are tracking all the things that happened, it'd be like, for 40 years this king rose up and he turned his back on God, and all the people followed and they turned their back on God.
Correct. Right.
And the influence of one leader.
Yeah, influence of one leader.
That's
the impact
crazy.
It can have.
Yeah. And then a Gideon or something rises up. And then all of a sudden the people, and then they turn back, and it's like for 20, 30 years, I don't know the exact term, you know, times, but you'll just see that throughout scripture. And then for 30 years, the people turn back to God and they find all this blessing. And then another leader, well, that's 70 years.
That's right.
That's one of our lifetimes a lot of times.
That's
right.
A lifetime.
It's a long time.
It's a lifetime.
Yeah.
And we're expecting this overnight sensation to happen. And it's
timing.
Like, man, Lord, God is in control.
Right.
And he knew that America would turn its back.
Right.
On God, especially in the young, to the school system, to, hey, you can't pray in church or in school anymore. You can't talk. Yep. You can't do. He knew it was going to happen.
Which interesting, because I wasn't even going to go here, but you kind of just walked right into it. Boom is actually, we are pivoting into a new season of ministry for the organization. In the schools here in Lubbock, two schools in particular, Lubbock High School, which is like downtown Lubbock, and Estacado High School, which is on the east side, which is the marginalized area, where they they're asking Boom to come in, like, and help them reach their athletes and their young men. And so there's an interesting thread here now that we're beginning to see.
That's right.
One individual, and Boom, we have several active men, I'd say upwards 60.
Yeah.
60-ish men who, man, I would love to see all those men mobilized into these schools so that this stuff can actually manifest in a real way, in a real tangible way. The father figure.
That's right.
That's powerful. That's powerful, man. The absence of a father, the absence of correction and love and leadership.
It's tragic.
Yeah.
That's tragic.
We need fathers back.
Yeah.
I mean, here, God is teaching us something very great. Especially touches me, like, if I can say that again, when God even has to endorse his own son, he rises up out of the waters. I mean, we all know how Jesus was born.
Right.
We all know the circumstances of his birth, you know, and also there's nothing in question there. This is a godly man. He's been born to fulfill a godly mission.
Right.
But the father has to endorse him.
Right.
This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of God descends upon him.
Right.
Says, listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
All those that were there were in awe, man. Did you hear that? Did you see that?
Right.
The father has to endorse his son. And he begins public ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John the Baptist has to endorse Jesus initially.
Mm.
Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Where would the Joshua be without a Moses?
Wow.
Where would the Ruth be without a Naomi?
That's right.
And where would an Elisha be without an Elijah? And where would the Timothy be without a Paul? And where would the 12 be
without Jesus?
Without Jesus. And somewhere we have left this and we think, I have a dream from God. So did Joseph. Why is the Pharaoh factor so important? Why doesn't this dream just get fulfilled, you know, through other means? But God is teaching us somewhere someone will endorse what I've put with him and build a platform for you. And so at the end of it all, we need to see that.
Yes.
You know, fathers. It says, in fact, between the Old and the New Testament, there were 400 years of silence.
Wow.
And we believe, where I come from, a man's last words are very important. We should always cherish them when he says something for the last time. Those words are very important. And so those were the last words of the Old Testament. You know, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children.
My God.
And turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Lest I should come and smite the earth with a curse. Meaning, cursed is a place where there's no relationship between the fathers and their children.
God, help us, man.
In other words, and the curse there means simply the absence of God's favor, the absence of God's blessing. Because God cannot bless disorder.
That's right.
God has instituted order.
Yes.
And where that order is alignment, there, he blesses. Amen. He shows favor. But when there is disorder, it's not that God doesn't want to bless.
Right.
But the conditions stand against
His nature.
What God would want to do.
Paul said to Timothy, and this is as we kind of, you know, land a plane here. Everything we see from that statement right there, that's really powerful and profound. I look at the Keith, look at me like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, Paul tells Timothy, you'd have many teachers, but not many fathers.
Not many fathers.
And that just really heavy, in this moment.
That's right.
A lot of teachers, a lot of knowledge, but not many fathers.
Correct.
And it's the emphasis of the necessity, the need in his life for a father figure.
That's it. Yeah.
Man, what a blessing it has been today. Man.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Real.
Man, I hope that you guys were blessed by this man right here, because I know I was.
Come on,
man. Every time. And man, what, you know, and as I reflect back, I'm like, as God sent me on this journey, and I didn't, to be honest with you, and I think most people that know me know this. I didn't want anything to do with anything like this.
It's right.
I didn't want us to be on a stage talking about nothing. I just wanted to. Right. But God had a different plan for me, and I've had to embrace that. Mm-hmm. And I've run. And I think what's really interesting a lot of times is there's a lot of people, if you look at scripture, Saul ran, he hid. And they're like, where is he? And God's like, he's hiding in the storeroom.
Yeah.
You know? Jonah ran. Like, so many of them, Moses wanted to run.
David ran, hitting the cave.
David ran. Like, all these dudes, you know? And so sometimes that call, if you feel that call and you want to run, like, no, that's a call from God on your life.
Yep.
And you need to step into, but it's going to be the process that you have to go through.
That's right.
And God's got things for you to fulfill.
That's right.
And so, man, what a blessing it's been to have you here. But I sit here and I'm like, man, never in my wildest dreams did I think we would have a man from Africa.
Oh, yeah.
From Zambia, Africa, a man of God.
Right.
I mean, there's no other way to say it, but a man of God. Sit in our presence and just get to learn and hear and soak this all in. I'm going to go back. I'm going to have to watch these episodes.
Oh, yeah, it's live.
Like, I can't just sit here one time and digest all this.
Yeah.
Even after reading the book, hearing this, there are so many nuggets in this episode.
Do we have the book here? Do we have it with you?
I didn't bring it with me.
Okay, we got to get that book. Maybe we'll get a picture of it.
We'll get a picture of it. We can splice it in.
B.O.B. edit the thing in there. Like it's right here.
You can get both books on Amazon. Is that right?
This one is on Amazon. The first one is not on Amazon as yet. We're working to get it there.
Okay.
But this one, when, you know, Destined for Greatness, is on Amazon and all the other outlets, Barnes & Noble and all these.
Okay.
You can still get it through.
Super. Yeah. Well, we want to help support you. And then
we
did not even get to dive into y'all's ministry, Emit.
Mm.
However, go to emit.global. You can learn all the things they're doing in Africa. Here's the thing that I love about what they're doing.
Mm.
They are not depending on missionaries to come in and change the people. What they are doing is they are organically, internally raising up leaders.
That's right.
For the kingdom of God to change the atmosphere of Africa and a lot of the corruption. We don't understand a lot of what's going on in Africa, but to hear you guys speak, but man, go on to their website, check out what they're doing. These are some impactful men of God, and like, y'all need to know
powerful leaders.
Mm-hmm. And man, if you can come alongside and support them financially, please do. If you can't financially, pray for these guys. They're on the front lines, and it's amazing to see what they're doing. Man, thank you for being here with us today.
Great being with you guys, as always.
No doubt, man.
Great to see
Roswell and Keith,
Next time you're in town, we'll just do another episode. We'll do another one. How about that?
Every time you're here,
sure.
We're bringing you, we'll bring Cobus.
Why not?
Come on with it. So,
yes.
Hey, blessing today, and all you guys out there listening, go be the epicenter of the boom. Have a great day. If you liked what you heard today on the Epicenter, be sure and click that subscribe button down below and click the bell so that you're notified whenever we drop new content. Also, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And know that you can find all of our episodes on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Now go out, be the epicenter of the boom.